They're on. But at the same time, bless God. Bless God. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the Cecil B. DeMille movie, The Ten Commandments. That's going to actually lead into what I'm heading for today. But I would like to take you to the place where all the children of Israel are at the Red Sea with Moses leading them. And I remember that scene depicted how they were in an absolute state of panic because there was Pharaoh's chariot up on the mountains with their swords in hand. And I'm sure they were sharp. And their spears ready to go in and just create carnage. And the people knew that. And you picture yourself in that place, seeing them up there, and all you have is a bunch of donkeys and a few staffs. You know, it doesn't look good. But I want to kind of take this to the situation in our day and in our I hear people commit suicide without are just in such an utter state of depression that they see no way out. Just like the children of Israel did at the Red Sea. I mean, there's some people who are addicted to alcohol and they can't see any way out. All I see is these demons just taunting. People who are addicted to drugs, cocaine.
They don't see any, there's no way out. People are addicted to pornography. There's no way out. They can't see a way out. People who are in the state of depression, there's just no way out. They're up against the Red Sea. And Moses stands up, the prophet of God, the prophet who has a word from God. And Moses said, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For he will accomplish for you today for the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and he and you shall hold your peace." He said that, but I'm sure there was still a lot of people wondering what was going to happen. But what does God tell him to do? God tells him to hold his hand up and his staff up over the Red Sea, that impossible way out. Is there a way out? Now, there's many different types and explanations you can read into that, but I like to see it as God is telling, get into that spirit of praise. Lift up your hands in praise and worship and watch the salvation of the Lord. Watch the Red Sea open. Oh, yeah, it was very narrow. There was only one way. You're not going to go to the right or to the left. There is one way. Then the path is narrow. There is one way that God has opened. One way. The world says, oh, there's lots of ways. But God said there is one way. And lo and behold, the Red Sea opened. There's always a way. God will always make a way out. And he made that way through the Red Sea. That's Exodus chapter 14. And at that point, when they did, there was Miriam on the other side. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider has thrown into the sea." I remember that way back in the 70s when I first came to the Lord. I remember that song. We used to get in charismatic meetings. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea." we sing that over and over. I don't know if I really even understood totally what it meant because I just came into the Lord, but it was fun singing that one. So here we were singing this, Miriam singing this. Let me go back. Egypt is a type of sin. Egypt is a type of where we all were, in a place of sin, in a place of bondage, in a place of destruction. Some worse than others. I can't say I never really got into real deep bondage, but I was there, and I knew there had to be a better way, and there, which there was. And when I crossed my Red Sea, when I got out of that place, I was singing this song that Miriam sang. But now the children of Israel had to go to the wilderness to work out this salvation plan. But this is, I'm kind of going in a roundabout way, but this is where I'm leading up to. One of the promises, now once you're out of this Egypt, out of this place of sin, one of the promises that God gave to the children of Israel is, and I will read it, and it's in chapter 15, verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. I just recently got a little revelation on this. Jehovah Rapha. In the Hebrew language, each letter has specific designations, I mean, obviously, but each letter also has a number attached to it. So each Hebrew letter has a number attached to it. Each Hebrew letter will have a musical note assigned to it, and it goes to many different levels. Some of the rabbis say it goes to 18 different levels on the designations that are appointed to the Hebrew alphabet. But I want to zero in on this Jehovah Rapha, because there are three letters in the word Rapha, three letters. And, of course, they also have their own designations. One letter is the letter, let me back up. There's also another level of designations for these this alphabet, and that is, they each have a figure which depicts something that you can see. And one letter in Rapha, the first letter, of course it reads from right to left, is the depiction of a head. If you take that letter, the rabbis say, now this is, you kind of got to look at this kind of hard from my perspective, but the rabbis say this is the letter of a head. And this first letter in Rapha. The second letter depicts a mouth in Rapha. And the third letter depicts the head of an ox or bull. And so you put all of this together, all the different levels in healing. You think in your head. You speak with your mouth. The blood sacrifice. Think in your head. Speak with your mouth. Speak it out. The sacrifice of the ox, the lamb, the blood, the shed blood. There's always a price that has been paid for anything that we receive from heaven. The blood sacrifice. Even way back in the beginning, Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. God always provides for our needs. Even when we come out of this place of sin and miraculous interventions, God will provide a way out. And in this particular case, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Now, I just want to walk you through, of course, Jesus, our healer, the fulfillment of Jehovah Rapha, Isaiah 53, which we're all familiar with, hopefully. And it speaks of when Jesus was on the cross. What did he accomplish? What did he do? How did he help us? Surely he has borne our griefs, and that could also be translated sicknesses, and carried our sorrows or pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The blood sacrifice. Think with your head. Speak with your mouth. Speak the blood. Speak the shed blood. That's where we put our confidence. That's where we put our trust. That's where we put our hopes. That's why we can cast our cares upon him. As Jody had that word. Cast your cares upon him. We're still in the Old Testament. We're still speaking prophetically. Move to the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:24. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. By his wounds we were healed. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Think in your head. Speak with your mouth. Because of the blood that was shed in the name of the Lord. For our benefit, for our peace, for our deliverance. I see this whole walk. Of course, then the Israelites had to go through 40 years in the wilderness before they actually got into the promised land. But God provided peace. He provided wholeness. He provided for their healing. He provided for their clothing. They wore the same shoes all the way through. As disgusting as that might be for some people, but the same shoes for 40 years. But he did provide. He provided manna in the wilderness. But the one thing that I wanted to key in on is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Now he can heal. And he does heal spiritually, mentally, physically. There's all different kinds of layers there, too. But when you find yourself tormented, when you find yourself with the Pharaoh's armies ready to slice you into pieces, call upon Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Call upon the name of Jesus, the extension of God, Jehovah Rapha. In the New Testament. So, yes.
I just want to, we're the tag team, so I'm just going to tag on to this a little bit. In Hebrews 6, the Lord is speaking to us, and it goes right along with what Lee was sharing. In verse 13 through 19, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. And at one time, that's all it took. You didn't need contracts. It was, you spoke your word. That was it. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Okay. The Holy of Holies, the place where we want to be in the presence of the Lord. And I just want to read one of these verses. Sometimes when we read some of this, it's the long sentences and a little complicated, and we kind of go, there's a lot of places in Hebrew where I go, okay, Lord, I think I get it, but I'm not quite sure. You know, can you explain it further? And the verse that says that about the anchor, or no, I'll go back to 18. This was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, his covenant, his word, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us, we who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it, a hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. This hope, this covenant, this promise, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. This is a hope. This is given to us. This is Rapha, I am the Lord that heals you. This is his blessing. This is part of it. This is part of salvation. This is part of the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, that this blessing, this Rapha, this multiplying, we have as an anchor. Okay, we've all been out boating. We know what an anchor does. This anchor holds you. But what's amazing here is this anchor enters his presence. This hope, this anchor brings us into his presence. And so again, that head, the mouth, the blood sacrifice, God could swear by no greater. Another way we can look at it. He is the head. He spoke it. And the blood sacrifice was accomplished through Jesus. He is our head. He spoke it. He gave us the blood sacrifice. That is our hope. That is our anchor that brings us into his presence. Now we, looking to the head, speak his word. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Jehovah Rapha, I am the God that healeth thee. We have that. That is my hope. I am secure. I can stand on that. I can, you know, and then you think of an anchor, you know, out on the lake when it gets rough. It's going to hold you. It's going to hold you when the Red Sea is in front of you. It's going to hold you. He is our Rapha. He is our healer. We have to stand that anchor. Yes, sometimes it takes time. But as we trust him, we're in the presence with him. It brings us into his presence. And that is so where we want to be, where we need to be. In Psalm 2, it says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. So right now, we're going to just proclaim the decree of the Lord, which today is Rapha. And we're going to say the names. I'm going to say Whitney, and you're going to say Rapha. We'll make the announcement. Most of you already know Chelsea and Paul have given birth to Seth William, who is a delightful little boy. Chelsea, though, had kind of a rough time, lost a lot of blood, and they're doing blood transfusions right now. So we want to proclaim Rapha to her. So if you have a name, call that out, and we will all join you. So let's start. Whitney, Rapha, Chelsea, Rapha, 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 Jenny, Rapha, Rapha, Rapha. 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 Now, as you go through the day, other names may come to you, and you may say, oh, I should have said. Say it. Call Rapha. He is the Lord that heals us. It is an anchor, sure and steadfast. It brings us into his presence. And then just before we do the offering and the announcements, I just want to bless you with one more verse here that I just love. As you go your way today and hang around, and so we're a little shorter today, so you can hang out a little longer. Psalm 20, verses 4 and 5. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. Salvation includes everything: redemption, healing, wholeness, forgiveness, restoration, everything. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. We'll proclaim, you know, we've got, you know, election banners all over the place. We've had gobo banners all over the place. We'll set up our banners. It's what we're proclaiming and decreeing. Our banner today is Rapha. We will set up our banners, and may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Cast that care upon him, for he careth for you.